Well, good morning. We're in our series now. It's called Real People, Real Life. I want to open up from reading from Titus chapter 2. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people." To all people, not some people, but to all people. And so I'm going to be talking about some individuals in the Bible today. The title for my talk is Fan versus Follower. Fan versus Follower. And I'm going to be reading my text from Luke 9, chapter 23. What did I say? Yeah, Luke 9, verse 23. It says, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." My theme for today is that Jesus longs for every fan to become a follower. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you and I praise you. God, I'm just asking that your Holy Spirit would speak to each individual today. God, that you would move in our lives. God, that we would feel your presence. We would know you're real. And I do pray that you would bless the Steelers today in their season opener. In Jesus' name, amen. If you didn't know, today is game day. I love the Steelers, by the way. If you didn't know, today is game day Sunday. And I wore my wife's jersey for you all today. It is of Troy Polamalu. So Kayla got this jersey because she loved his hair. So it is a blessing. I don't know if that's true. I just made that up. But it is true. That is true, right? Okay. All right. So do I have any Steeler fans in the room today? Is there anyone in here? Okay. Kev, you didn't raise your hand. I said, do I have any Steeler fans in the room today? Anyone? Okay. So this is the only week you're allowed to wear your Steeler jersey. No, I'm just kidding. But we just wanted to kick off the football season. And so it's game day Sunday. I'm calling this fan versus follower. I want to ask you a question. I'm getting a fantasy update on my iPad just now. That was confusing. Are you willing to follow Jesus? Sounds like a simple question. Are you willing to follow Jesus? I didn't ask, are you following Jesus? Do you want to? Are you willing? It's an act of your will. You have to choose if you're going to follow Jesus or not. I want to define for you the difference between fan and follower. A fan can be defined as an enthusiastic admirer, where you admire someone from afar. A follower can be defined as going after something. You're up close and personal. You see, if Jesus had Instagram, I know that he would have millions of followers. But in reality, that's really just kind of being a fan. You're not up close and personal. You're clicking a button from afar. You know, if Jesus was on America's Got Talent, I guarantee all of us would be voting for him. For when he began to walk across water on stage, we would all go crazy. Or if he turned a few pieces of bread into feeding this crowd, we would all be texting one for whatever it is to text for Jesus to win. We would be a fan of him. But that's just being a fan. It's from afar. It's not up close and personal. A fan speaks mere words. Or clicks a button on the screen. It's not following. A follower lives it. A follower has relationship. So I ask again, right, it's game day Sunday, how many of us are fans of the Steelers? How many of us are fans of Jesus? Or how many of us are followers of Jesus? Because there's a difference. You see, a fan would like Jesus on Instagram, right? A fan would vote for Jesus if he was on America's Got Talent. A fan goes to church, tithes sometimes, tries not to swear, does good deeds in hopes they outweigh their bad. They might be an usher or nursery worker. or someone sitting in the pew today. You might feed the homeless and still be a fan, but are you a follower of Jesus? Do you know him? Or better yet, does he know you? Are you a follower of Jesus, or are you just an enthusiastic admirer that knows him from afar? I want to look at two men in the Bible today that will help us to go from being a fan into becoming a true follower of Jesus. I want to first look at the man. His name is Nicodemus. This man was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was one of the most elite men in all of Israel. When he walked by, you stopped and looked at him. He was a celebrity. He was Israel's teacher, as Jesus called him, meaning he was the teacher of all teachers. There was no one higher in authority or position than Nicodemus. He was the top of the line. I want to read in John chapter 3 about Nicodemus. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. It says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.'" And so where we first see Nicodemus in the story is he comes to Jesus at night, where he can easily conceal who he is, where nobody can know that Nicodemus is talking to Jesus. Nicodemus is visiting with Jesus. He's avoiding all controversy. He's avoiding any comments from the other Pharisees of, why are you talking with him? Why are you asking him that question? Are you really wanting to get to know who Jesus is? He was a fan of Jesus from afar. You see, he could have talked to Jesus many times in the streets during the day, but he never took the opportunity to try to get to know who Jesus was. And so he came to him by night. It's very significant. I'm going to read verses 3 through 7. It says, "Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' And Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Truly, I truly, 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 I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again.'" This statement completely blows Nicodemus away. How can a man enter into his mother's womb again and be born a second time? And then Jesus rebukes him. He says, "You're Israel's teacher, and you don't understand this. How are you going to be able to teach anyone else?" And then I love this. Jesus goes on to quote maybe the most known verse in the Bible in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life." He died for all. See, Nicodemus was a part of Israel. He thought they were the special ones, and it was all about Israel and becoming an Israelite. And Jesus says, "No, I'm going to die for all. For God so loved the world, he loved everyone." They had this mindset that only God loved Israelites. They didn't love Gentiles also. And Jesus came and he was destroying these mindsets that the people had, that it was only for this certain group. Jesus' love was only for a certain group of people. And he said, "I love all, that all might come to know Jesus." Nicodemus is faced with the cost of what it costs him to follow Jesus. What does it cost you by following Jesus? We can infer that Nicodemus is just a fan, and he has this choice to make. Is he willing to follow Jesus? Are you willing to go past being a fan and begin to follow the King? So Jesus says this mind-blowing statement that you must be born again. I want to turn to Luke chapter 14, and I want to read another crazy statement that Jesus says. It's Luke 14, 25 through 27. It says, now great crowds accompanied him, and that's very important. It was great crowds that he was speaking to, because when I read this verse, many people have tried to say, well, he wasn't actually speaking to large crowds. It was only to a specific group of people, but the Bible says he was speaking to large crowds, and we know it was to a large crowd. Are we all on the same page? Good. He turned and said to them, if anyone would come to me, hear this, and does not hate his own father, hate his own mother, his wife, his children, his brothers, his sisters, and yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my own disciple. And many people have tried to say, well, he was only speaking to his disciples, and they try to change it because this statement completely contradicts everything else that Jesus says. To love. The greatest commandment is to love. To love your enemy. To love and not curse. It would be a complete contradiction if Jesus literally meant to hate them. But that's not what it means. I want to explain this verse to you guys. I believe, and many scholars believe, that Jesus was using this strong language because being a part of their culture was different than being a part of ours. Right, you and I are Americans. Most of us were born in America, raised in America. Right, we go to McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King 5 days a week. Right, we get fast food. We go out to eat. Okay, it's a different society. Right, running water, electricity. Right, you can come to church and none of your friends know about it. You can be a Christian and no one has to know. Which is really just being called a fan. But in their day and age, and kind of like in Jordan, to say that you follow Jesus would in turn be turning your back on your family. So for somebody to stop being a fan and becoming a follower of Jesus, in essence, it's them saying they hate their family. Does that make sense? Because in the Muslim world today, if you become a Christian, your family will want to kill you. So Jesus didn't use strong language because he wants you to hate people. No, he's saying that's what they're going to see in your eyes as if you hate them. He's saying following me is going to cost you something. If it hasn't cost you anything, then you're probably just a fan and not a follower of Jesus. You see, we're all fans of the Steelers. Not real followers. Why? Because a follower would know, right, when Ben Roethlisberger's deciding if he's going to retire or not. Did he call any of you? No. Were you in the room when Antonio Brown had his first baby? I don't even know if he has a baby, see? Right? Were you in the room? No. We're just fans. We're not followers. We don't have true relationship with the Steelers. We're just fans from afar. An enthusiastic admirer. So this decision to follow Jesus was as if in turn you were turning your back on your family. There's no way of following Jesus without him taking over your whole entire life. In the New Testament, Jesus uses the word follow me 20 times. He did not say come and be a fan of me. He said come and follow me. He didn't say, come and identify with me in my name, Christ, Jesus Christ. We're called Christians. He didn't say, just identify with my name, as most of us do. I'm a Christian. But does that affect your whole entire life? Are you a fan or are you a follower of Jesus? You see, it was going to cost Nicodemus everything. His position of power, his respect, his reputation, his income. He was a very wealthy politician of our day. He was extremely wealthy because of his position. He was going to lose it all, his friends, his family. He was going to be outcasted, kicked out of the synagogue. The seat that he held for years was going to be gone. Everything he worked for from a child would be gone. Do you understand that in order to be in his position, he had to memorize Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and know it by heart? Everything he worked for as a child would be, in essence, ruined. Everything. He was a fan, an enthusiastic admirer from afar. He was silent and would not speak up for Jesus. I asked in the beginning, are you willing to follow Jesus? Nicodemus, are you willing to follow Jesus? The next time we see Nicodemus is in, what a name, by the way, too. Thank God my mom didn't name me that. John chapter 7 is the next time we see him, verse 43. Start with 43. John 7, 43. It says, so there was a division among the people over him, over Jesus. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. The officers then came to the chief priests and Pharisees and said to them, why did you not bring him? The officers answered, no one ever spoke like this man. The Pharisees answered them, have you also been deceived? Have any of the authorities or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed. Verse 50, it says, Nicodemus, who had gone to him before. Remember, he went to him at night. Who was one of them, said to them, does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does? They replied, are you from Galilee too? Search and see that no prophet arises from Galilee. You see, these Pharisees, they were all about following the law, because in their day and their age, if you didn't follow the law, you were not going to heaven. If you didn't follow the law to the letter of the law, 100%, you were not going to heaven. And so they were here making fun of people for not knowing the law, and yet they were willing to break the law to kill Jesus. And then it happens. That moment, many of you know the moment when your blood pressure starts to rise and you maybe get the goosebumps on your arms and in your neck and you think, maybe I should say something. Maybe I should tell them about Jesus. Maybe I should stand up for Jesus right now. And most of the time we don't. But we see here that Nicodemus did. I love it because the Pharisees just get done saying, have any of us believed in this guy? And it doesn't seem like much. Nicodemus didn't say, I'm following Jesus now, I love him, and he's my best friend. He didn't say that. It was a small statement, but he stood up for Jesus. In the face of all of his friends, in the face of all of his co-workers, he stood up for Jesus. We see Nicodemus is starting to look more like a follower than a fan. The next time that we see Nicodemus is on Good Friday. So Jesus has died, and his body is put in the tomb, and everyone has fled from fear, and no one is around. Except there's one man, and his name was Nicodemus. And he went to the tomb of Jesus, and he brought 75 pounds of myrrh and aloes for his body, and he was really starting to live for Jesus. He put it all out on the line. He spoke up for Jesus, and then he lived it. 75 pounds, man, that was very costly, extremely costly, and he gave it all for Jesus. He laid it down on the line for Jesus. Nicodemus was becoming a follower. The next person I want to look at briefly is Peter. If there was ever a battle for the best follower in the Bible of Jesus, Peter would probably have won. right? This dude walked on water. Once again, Peter might have won America's Got Next Cup. What, America's Got Talent. Like this dude walked on water as well. He was only the disciple to declare that Jesus was the Christ. When everyone else was afraid to say that Jesus was God, Peter did. He was outspoken in his love for Jesus. And of the 12 disciples, the 12 men that were closest to Jesus, Peter was the spokesman. He was a part of the inner circle. You see, Jesus had his 12 friends. He had 72 friends. He had 500 friends. But then he had three. It's Peter, James, and John. And he was one of Jesus' closest friends. I don't know, when I was preparing this, I got kind of like giggly inside, like thought about being Jesus' best friend. You know, it's like I got my two brothers and like they're my brothers, and I'm like, man, if I would have known Jesus like that, how cool that would have been. That he did everything with Jesus. And it was Jesus who spoke about Peter and said, upon this rock I will build my church. And it was Peter who went on to speak and preach and do many miracles in the name of Jesus. He was a great follower of Christ. But if you know anything about Peter, you know that he was not perfect. That Peter missed it on many occasions. I said he was a spokesperson, and that was a great gift of his, but he also put his foot in his mouth a lot. And he said things that he should not have said. You and I don't do that. Never. Right, hon? Never. So Peter's following Jesus, and Jesus says, I'm going to die. And Peter's like, never, Lord, you're not going to die. And then he says, yes, I am. And he says, well, then Peter says, well, then I'm going to die with you. And he says, no, you're not. You're actually going to deny me three times. He says, never, Lord, I would never deny you. And then they come and they take Jesus. Peter takes his sword and he cuts off a man's ear, which that's crazy in and of itself. But then Jesus heals the man, and then they take Jesus, and Peter, he's following Jesus from afar. Is Peter becoming a fan? Or is he really a follower? And so then we see that he gets into the courtway, and one of the ladies says, hey, I think you were with Jesus. And he denies it and yells and says, no, I don't know that man. I don't belong to him. And I know inside that his heart broke, but he wanted to see Jesus, and so he stayed. And so again, someone came over and says, you're one of them. I know you are. And he begins to yell again, I don't know that man. And then a third time someone comes and says, I saw you in the garden. And he begins to yell down curses upon himself and says, I never knew that man. It says immediately the rooster crowed, and it says that Peter went out and he wept bitterly in shame for his sin. The shame and the sorrow that Peter must have felt for abandoning his best friend. He was ashamed of his best friend, and then he watches him be murdered and killed on the cross. Was Peter a follower, or was he just a fan? Nicodemus was a fan who became a follower. And then there's me, and then there's you. Do you just know Jesus from afar? So you can go to church, you can read the Bible on occasion, you can tithe, you can work in the nursery and do things for God and still just be a fan. But do you know him? And better yet, does he know you? Has it cost you something to follow Jesus, or is it just a club that you're in because it's the right thing to do? Are you a fan or are you a follower? Jesus longs to bring every fan into becoming a follower of Jesus. Are you willing to follow him? Are you willing to follow Jesus? That no matter what would come your way, you're gonna follow the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm going to show a video here in closing so the worship team can get ready to come on up. But this video is going to kind of explain what happened after with Peter.
Grace is God's unmerited favor for us, His crazy love. And the truth is, many times we struggle understanding it. If you find yourself struggling to understand God's grace, don't beat yourself up. Even the disciples struggled with understanding grace.
Jesus, is that you? You're alive. I can't believe you're alive. Okay, I was in the boat and I wasn't catching any fish, okay? But I heard this voice and the voice said, cast your net to the other side. And so I'm thinking, I'm a fisherman. I know what I'm doing, but I'm not catching any fish, you know? And so I throw that net over there and then a gaggle of fish pop into that net and I'm going, this is a total miracle. Who could have done that? I need to know who told me to throw the net to the other side. And boom, I look up and I mean, there is you. You're looking at me on the seashore going, it is I, the Lord, and you're alive. I can't believe you're alive. This is awesome. Andrew, get out of the boat. Come on.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
Yes, I love you. I love you. You're alive. This is so great.
Good. Then feed my sheep.
Andrew, get out of the boat. Come on, man. It's him.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
I love you. Yes. And I'm so sorry about that rooster clucking. I had no idea what that meant, but I do not. I'm better for it. All right. Okay.
Good. Then feed my sheep.
Andrew, I'm smiling, but I'm serious. Come on, get out of the boat. It's him.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
Jesus, mere words cannot describe the passion that I have for you. I love you. You know everything. I love you.
Good. Good. Then feed my sheep.
I didn't even know you had livestock. That is so like you, though. There's something new about you all the time. That's what I love about you.
Peter,
yeah.
Do you remember the morning the ladies went to the tomb?
Yeah. We're all in the upper room trying to figure out what to do next, you know, because we thought you were dead. You know, you were dead, you know, and we're trying to figure all that out, you know. And Mary comes running up, and Mary's like saying, beehive, beehive, beehive. And I'm thinking, I'm allergic to bees. Like, keep them out. You know what I'm saying? But as she kept getting closer, I heard her correctly. She was saying, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. And we're going, who's alive, who's alive? And she said, she was at the tomb, and the tomb was empty. And she said that there was an angel there. And the angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay, he is risen. And so me and John, we hightailed it down there. And if John says he beat me, he's totally lying, all right? I beat him, FYI, all right, you know? And we get down there, and I'm looking in that tomb, and it is empty. There's nothing in there, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, what does this mean? What does this mean? And John is right there. John is so good with words. He should write a book. He is so good with words. And John said, don't you get it, Peter? This is everything Jesus said he was going to do, and you did it, and it's done. Let's go. This is so great.
Wait, yeah. The angel said what?
Go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay. He is risen. You've risen. Let's go. This
he
is.
He said what?
Go tell the disciples and Peter. Go tell the disciples and Peter. You said my name. Why did you say my name?
Peter, that's grace.
No, I don't deserve that, because that night people kept coming up to me asking me if I belonged to you, if I was with you, and I kept denying you left and right, all right? No, it'll take me my whole life to make up for what I did. It was unforgivable for
no,
what I did.
No. What I did on the cross was meant to take what is unforgivable and make it forgivable. That's my grace. It's not about you. It's always about me. That's grace, Peter.
You know, it's a really powerful video, and I've watched it many, many times, and I've seen it performed live many, many times when we were at Faith School, and it always affects me, because see, Peter was at his absolute lowest point in his life, and he probably thought it was the end for him, right? Jesus didn't really have plans for me. No, I blew it. I messed up too many times, and he's never going to take me back. My sin was unforgivable. And when you and I think that God's mad at us and ready to cast us out, it's in reality the opposite. He's calling you by name. And he's saying, it's my grace. But the question is are you willing to follow Jesus? Because Peter was. His heart was willing to follow Jesus. Is your heart willing to follow the Lord? Are you just a fan, or are you a follower of Christ? And as a Christian, we should be showing this same grace to others that Christ shows us. You know, if Peter was around today, you and I would condemn him for not being a good Christian, and I can't believe he did that. How could you mess up that bad, Peter? Instead of showing grace, let's show the grace that Jesus has shown us. I think somehow in the church we get grace to get saved, but then if we ever mess up, there's no more grace. And it's absolutely the opposite. Jesus' grace remains the same. It's not a means or a reason to go sin and do what you want, but his grace remains the same. He said, he who is without sin cast the first stone to the woman caught in adultery. He told another woman to go and leave your life of sin. But are we willing? Are you willing to choose to follow Jesus? History tells us that Nicodemus, after the stoning of Stephen, truly gave everything to Jesus. And tells us that he was martyred for following Jesus. He gave up his life to follow Jesus. And Peter, we know, became the rock for the church. And history tells us that Peter was crucified as Jesus was, but upside down, because he didn't consider himself worthy to be crucified the same way Jesus was. I heard a preacher say, I think it was MacArthur, Jesus died on the cross for you. Are you willing to die on the cross for him? You see, being a Christian is not about being a fan. It's about being a follower. Are you willing to be a follower of Jesus today? We're going to sing, I Give Myself Away. And if you want to come up for prayer, these altars are open, but let's worship Jesus this one more time. So Father, I just thank you and I praise you, God, that you've called us to be followers. Help us to follow with all of our hearts. God, I'm praying for individuals in here who are just fans of you. God, they're enthusiastic admirers from afar. God, I'm praying that they would turn into followers. In Jesus' name, amen.